just the wicked person, not just the unrighteous person, but the person who is called righteous, the person who is a believer that has unrighteous thoughts or unrighteous ways, right? So let them forsake them. That's what he's saying. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. Brian, you started out talking about that. God doesn't count our trespasses against us. Merciful is God. He's waiting for us to turn to him, right? And this affirms that. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We could stop there, but I just want to highlight, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Man, that may be part three, but I don't want to get into that today. But you're going to go out with joy, be led forth with peace, et cetera, et cetera, and the rest of the verse. Okay, so we get that. All right, I want you to hear about my ways and his ways, my thoughts and his thoughts, because there's a lot to that. Now think about the story of Abraham, right? God speaks to Abraham, and what does he say to Abraham? He says, Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation, right? And I'm going to bring offspring to you like the, and he counts, right? Like the what? The sand on the seashore, the stars in the sky. It's just, man, there's going to be so many, right? And so it doesn't happen at first. It doesn't happen at first. So Abraham tries his way, doesn't he? He says, we're not having this kid, me and Sarah. We got to get, maybe I'll get a handmaid here. And we'll have a kid through them, and then we'll be able to make this happen, right? And so he does. And so, man. And so who's born? Ishmael's born. Ishmael. Does God promise that Abraham's seed of the next generation is going to happen through Ishmael? No. He said, I'm going to bring that seed to us. Now, he did make Ishmael into a people, right? But I'm going to make that seed through Isaac. And where's Isaac? He's no one on the scene right now, right? He's not even, and how old is Sarah? I mean, she's almost 100 years old. This is not, you know, not looking good. The promise of God, God's ways, God. I mean, my thoughts say, God, we're well past childbearing years, don't you think, here? And I'm just not sure how you're going to bring this to pass. And then, miraculously, Sarah gets pregnant. Let's have a shower. This is awesome. Isaac is coming. We're ready. Everybody, we're going over to the house 6 o'clock tomorrow night. This is going to be great. We're going to have a shower. Oh, man, amazing. Boom, Isaac's born. Wow, God. Your ways are so much. I mean, I'm just blown away. The ways of God. And I'm walking with Isaac, and we're walking, and one day God says to him, now take Isaac to the mountain, sacrifice him as an offering to me. What? Didn't you promise that through my seed, not Ishmael? And I made that mistake, Lord. I mean, I messed that one up, the handmaid, all that stuff. Oh, that was bad. Sorry, Lord. But now we got Isaac here, and didn't you promise? So my ways, my thoughts are very simple. This is where the promise of God is going to come through. And then you're just telling me to kill him. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And in those moments, I can imagine Abraham wrestling. He did obey. And he climbs the mountain and he says to his servants, you stay here. Me and the boy are going to go up there and worship. And the boys are asking him, Isaac, well, Dad, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? The Lord himself will provide a lamb, my son. And all along, Abraham knows that there's the lamb right in front of him, right? And then he says, sorry, he ties him, he binds him on the altar, and he's just about to slay his son. And the Spirit of the Lord says, stop. Now I know that you really trust me. We make a great nation if we have glory. God's ways are not our ways. That is just, that blows us away. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, right? It's just, it's too much to fathom. But they're so much higher. They're so much greater. He's got such a great plan. And so we're in the midst of trying to figure this out right now. I mean, think about Abraham and Sarah. Mighty, mighty warriors of faith. Their names are in the Bible. Are yours mine? Well, maybe, yeah, but not for me, not for you, right? I mean, it's a different John that's in the Bible than me. But you get it? I mean, these are warriors of the faith. And imagine what they were wrestling through as they're thinking, we're going to have a son, and now we're going to kill this son. And his ways are so much higher than my ways, his thoughts than my thoughts. And so as the book of Isaiah highlights, God coming, a righteous king, an atoning savior, a universal deliverer, the whole portion of this scripture, the whole portion of Isaiah, as we look at especially these chapters in 55, is about God looking for a people that would be fully devoted to him. Man, we just sung about it this morning, didn't we? I'll stand with hearts on it. Man, didn't we just sing about that? That I would be fully devoted to him? I thought somebody prophesied. Didn't it sound like somebody prophesied to our young people about that today? Fully devoted, taking a stand for him. Did any of you hear that? And none of this fits together, though, does it? It's just like random, haphazard stuff. God's really speaking to us, right? Oh, my goodness. His ways are so much higher than our ways, his thoughts, than our thoughts. He wants a people fully devoted to him, a people that will worship with their lips on Sunday morning, but they're not afraid to go out on Saturday and speak the truth and stand for those who can't stand for themselves. They're not afraid to go to the streets and support and pray for our preacher and get up there and do whatever they can. They're not afraid because they're fully devoted to him. They're fully surrendered. And that's what this book and this chapter is really highlighting and talking about. It's talking about hungering and thirsting after the knowledge of the Lord. Right? Come, who are thirsty. We didn't read that. That's the first six verses. Come, you who are weary. Buy food and drink. I mean, why spend your life on things that don't satisfy? Spend them on the Lord. That's what Isaiah exhorts us to. His thoughts, his ways, so much higher than ours. And so the focus here is on the thoughts and the ways of the Lord. And that's what we want to kind of hone in on a little bit. And as I was researching this a little bit more, just real simple message. There's just 2 points to this message. Very simple, right? First point, we've got to forsake our thoughts and our ways that don't line up with God's thoughts and God's ways, because his thoughts and his ways are so much bigger than our thoughts, right? So we forsake them. But what does that mean? What does it actually mean to forsake the ways and to forsake the thoughts that don't line up with God's thoughts or God's ways? Very simply this. Forsake means to loosen, to relinquish, to stop permitting them. Forsake, to loosen, to relinquish, to stop permitting them. Now, there is a tree right by the left side of our driveway, right on there, a tree. Big, tall, I guess it's pine, yeah, because there's cones in it. So that's pine, right? It's pine tree. It's pine tree. And so one day I was out there on a Saturday, you know, doing the yard stuff and the honeydew things and all that stuff, right, that you do typically? No? Okay. I got a look on that one. And so I'm out there, and I look, and it grabbed my attention for the first time in a while, was wrapped around this pine tree is a vine. And, I mean, this vine is thicker than, I mean, it's probably like this thick, you know, like somewhere around that thick. And it is wrapped really tight. Like I went, you know, you're not going to pull a vine like this off, right? So I just start yanking on it. Nothing's happening. And then I'm thinking, man, and I'm looking, and it wraps around. It goes really high up, and it starts weaving in some of the branches and all that. And so then I get out one of my saws, right? And I'm just going to saw through that. And boy, and then I start trying to pull pieces of it. And as I'm pulling, some of the bark of the tree is coming off, because this vine has gotten so intertwined in the life of the tree that it actually has taken energy from the tree, and now it's like sucked into the tree's thinking. It's a part now of the tree's way of living. And it took me a good while to try and pull the anchor, stress, pull, and finally get a chunk of that vine to come down. And as it does, leaves are... Oh, I mean, they're falling everywhere. Branches are coming off a little bit and all that stuff, because this vine had just taken up residence in sucking the life out of the tree. And as I was thinking about that with the context of Isaiah 55, I see it's quite a bit like a picture of the way our thoughts
intertwined with the enemy's thoughts. But he comes in and he suggests a thought to you, and maybe he suggests it a long time ago, and you entertain it, and you allow it to stay there, and then it continues to grow, and it continues to get bigger, and then it continues to be revisited, and now it just gets stronger, and so it starts to intertwine into the life of my everyday thinking, and I start to think that really, yeah, I'm not really a daughter of God the way other people are doing. There's something different about me. I'm not really chosen. I'm not really set apart as a son and an heir and all those promises of the Bible. That's not really for me, because I have stuff that, well, everybody else doesn't struggle with. And I have these thoughts, they just begin to intertwine, and I'm never really going to accomplish anything for God, because I really can't make a difference. And so all my efforts, every time I take a step forward, I get slapped down. And so I just want to quit, give up. And so those thoughts just become intertwined in my daily thinking until they're now wrapped around my everyday life. They've become my ways. And in this chapter, God is talking to us about loosening, relinquishing, forsaking, getting rid of the stuff that has had a hold of our minds in the past, that's caused us to think differently than what the promises of God affirm, than what God's word affirms, than what God has spoken to us, and than what God wants to hold us to. And he even promises later on in these chapters we read, as my word comes down, waters the earth and sprinkles forth the earth, and it's going to bring forth fruit. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which I sent it, because my word is more powerful than your thoughts. And yet, he says, it requires us to forsake, to loosen, to relinquish, to take some pulling and cutting and get rid of that stuff. In fact, he says to turn back to the starting point, right? He says it's repentance. It's I gotta lay it down. I've gotta put it aside. And gradually thoughts become patterns, and they lead me into different places. So let's do today. Today's November 4th. That's the first thought that might pop into my head. November is a great time of the year. It's the next thought that might come into my head. It's fall. The trees are changing colors. It's also my anniversary month. Ooh, my anniversary month is coming up here. And so I start thinking about that. And as I can be sitting here in the middle of Pastor John preaching, I'm thinking about my anniversary month, and I'm thinking about, oh, I need to make reservations at a restaurant, right? And so my thoughts just went from November 4th to and so I'm thinking about the restaurant. I'm thinking about, oh, and at the end of the restaurant comes my dessert time, and my favorite dessert is blueberry cheesecake, and I'm sitting there, and so I went from November 4th to blueberry cheesecake, just like that, all the way through. Has that ever happened to you? You're sitting there, and just a train of thought, and you jump from this thing to that thing to this, and it's all somehow connected, and somehow I got from there to there. And they're not really related. I mean, the cheesecake on November 4th are not really related. But a train of thought, right? But in the same way, this is how patterns of thinking and strongholds begin to take a firm root in our lives. And it's like one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, until finally we get to the cheesecake, and it's not really good. You know, it's some bad thinking that's erected itself in our minds as strongholds that holds us back. Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know that kind of thinking that has erected itself in your mind? Forsake, loosen, relinquish. It's going to take some effort, because it's been holding on to my tree for some time, my tree of thought, and it's wrapped around. It's going to take some time, but Lord, help me to forsake, to relinquish, to let go, to break it, to forsake it, to go back to the starting point. And so I'm leaving the cheesecake of my thinking, coming all the way back to November 4th. This is where I was before, because somewhere here, right here at the start, I started to believe a lie. Now, I know November 4th of cheesecake's not the illustration of a lie, but you get the idea. I started to believe something. It took me to here, then it took me to there, then it took me to there, then it took me to, and I got all the way down here, and now this is where my life is. This is where I'm living. Is that resonating? Making sense to anybody? How did I get here? And the Lord says, go back to the starting point. He says, go back to the beginning. What did you entertain? And for some of us, going back to the beginning might be really painful. Because there might be some strongholds of thinking that came from when I was a little girl and something happened. When I was a little boy, and somebody said something to me. And that became a pattern that I just year after year after year began to entertain until now. Here I am living in this place where God's saying, I have a design. This is not my ways for you. This is not my thoughts for you. And so he says to go back to the beginning. Turn from our ways and thoughts that are displeasing to him in that way. And to embrace his word. And embrace what he says about me. So for those of you that are computer geeks and you know what happens every now and then when your computer slows down, what do you got to do when your computer slows down? You what? Reboot it? Yeah. But there's actually a what? Clean it up. That's right. There's actually a tool that you use called a scan disk, right? Disk defragmenter or whatever, and nobody does that anymore. All right, well, you can set it automatically and all that, but it scans your disk and it looks through the whole of the disk. It does it really quick, right? It goes through everything and starts highlighting the files and all that, and then you can defrag your disk and it speeds things up because it's putting things in the right place and all that stuff. But the cool thing about the scan disk is it's like it's looking through your whole system for any errors, viruses, stuff that shouldn't be there, right? It's looking. So I found one. I found one. So there's something, I found one. Yeah. Isaiah 55 is saying, guys, we need a time of scanning our discs. We need a time to sit back. We need to retreat. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to begin it. I mean, we're living at such a fast pace, we don't even know how this pattern of thought led us to this place, November 4th with cheesecake, right there. I don't even know how I got there. We're living at such a fast pace that the actions of our life, we're not even taking time to examine. Why am I avoiding that person? There's something between us. I don't even know what it goes back to, right? And I'm not even taking time to examine why I'm avoiding them. And I'm a Christian. And maybe they're a Christian. What's happening here? I need to scan this. I need to go back and examine. Lord, would you show me? You know, one of the great things about the Solar Business Weekend for the guys is I'm not going to say a lot of it, but they take some time so you can do a scan disc, don't they? They take some time where you can really get along with God and begin to hear God's thoughts for you and God's ways for you. Most of the time, we're so busy with the stuff of life that we're missing. We're living in our thoughts. We're living in our ways. And we're missing the stuff that God wants to download for us. And so here in Isaiah 55, he's saying to us, forsake our thoughts and ways that are not pleasing to God. And in a sense, like Psalm 139 says, Lord, would you search me and do a scan disc on me? Would you know my heart and would you test me and know the anxious thoughts I have? And can you begin to show me what is displeasing to you? Can you begin to show me that? Can you begin to reveal that to me? Can you begin to open my heart, my mind, and my thought life to that? And I believe as we take some time to do a scan disc in that way, we take some time to let the Holy Spirit begin to breathe upon our thoughts and our ways, and we examine them. We see the discrepancy between his thoughts and his ways. God can begin to take us back. And so we do the scan disc, and we ask the Lord, we're waiting on the Lord, we're taking time, and maybe it's on a Saturday morning, I don't know, maybe it's on a Sunday afternoon, you're tired, but we're starting out a new week, a Sunday evening, and I want to take a half hour or an hour now every week, and I want to do a scan disc. This is something I schedule on my computer, and it does it every week now, right? And so, Lord, I need to take a scan disc, and I need to examine what happened this week. What's that thought connected to? What are these ways I've adopted? How am I walking? How am I living this way? And then, Lord, when you do reveal a virus, then I can go back to the beginning. I can say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to go all the way back. Where's the point? I turn. And look at what Isaiah 55 said in the verses before. He said to us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. But if you'll turn to the Lord, he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. We heard that this morning, right? The affirmation that God's not looking to count your offenses and your sins against you. He's looking to be merciful to you, to pull the vine down from the tree of your life, to pull away the impressions that it's made, and to begin to strengthen you, to encourage you, to build you up, and to think righteously so that you can walk righteously. God's ways and his thoughts are so much higher than our ways and our thoughts. So let us forsake the wicked thoughts, the thoughts that are contrary to his word. That means to loosen them, to relinquish them, to stop permitting them, to leave them. Lord, I'm just going to leave that thought. And so some of us need to go back and say, whatever it happened when I was a little girl or a little boy or however that thought pattern started, Lord, I'm just going to leave that at your foot. I'm going to leave that at the foot of the cross and say, that thought does not belong to me any longer. I repent of it. I don't receive it. I don't allow it to influence my life any longer. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I'm despondent. Lord, I just want to leave my discouragement. I don't know where it started. Maybe you could show me that where it started, Lord, but I'm going to leave that at the foot of the cross right now. I just receive that hope is what I have. I have fresh hope right now in the atoning Savior. I have hope in the redemption of Jesus Christ. I have hope for my future. Folks, this self-talk of prayer, I do it all the time. Yes, I talk to myself all the time. I'm telling myself, self, stop thinking that way. That's okay. You're not crazy. When you start talking to your soul and you start telling your soul, that's not right. That's not right. I'm not going to have that thought. I'm not going to entertain that thought. So you might be in the middle of my work day and all that, and that thought comes into mind. No, that thought is not right. I tear that down right now. Jesus said, what did you say? Somebody else had, talking to me, but that conversation is going on, right? As I'm taking action to forsake those thoughts that don't belong to me, to embrace God's ways. And that's simply the other part of this message. As I said, it's simple. Step one, forsake. That means loosen, relinquish, let go of. Just lay that at the foot of his cross. And step two is to embrace his thoughts and his ways, to say yes to the Lord's thoughts and ways, as Abraham had to say, okay, Lord, I don't understand how this is going to happen. I don't know how. I guess you'll raise Isaac from the dead, but here goes. Man, it's painful to embrace the thoughts and the ways of the Lord, isn't it? It's costly to embrace the thoughts and the ways of the Lord, because his ways are so much higher than our ways. In fact, some of the Bible talks about them. It says that his thoughts are profound and precious, right? Psalm 92, verse 5, Psalm 139, verse 17, it talks about those in those verses. Let me just quickly read that to you, but you can go back and reference that later. He says, how great are your works, Lord? How profound are your thoughts? Psalm 92, 5. How precious to me are your thoughts, Lord? How vast is the sum of them? His thoughts are so much greater than our thoughts. In fact, the Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than the highest wisdom of man. And so no matter what man tries to do, no matter what man tries to accomplish, God sits in the heavens and laughs. It just doesn't make any sense, right? Tolstoy, how many of you know Tolstoy was an author, right? Leo Tolstoy. He once wrote a story about a successful peasant farmer who was not satisfied with his lot in life. And so he wanted more of everything. One day he received a novel offer. For 1,000 rubles, he could buy all the land that he could walk around in one day. The only catch in the deal was that he had to be back at his starting point by sundown. So this is a peasant farmer, right? And he's going to get all this for 1,000 rubles, which was, all this land he could have. Early the next morning, he started out walking at a fast pace. By midday, he was very tired, but he kept going, covering more and more ground. Well into the afternoon, though, he realized that his greed had taken him far from the starting point. So he quickened his pace as the sun began to sink low in the sky. He began to run, knowing that if he didn't make it back by sundown, the opportunity to become an even bigger landholder would be lost. As the sun begins to sink below the horizon, he comes within sight of the finish line. He gasps for breath. His heart's pounding. He's calling upon every bit of strength left in his body. He staggers across the finish line just before the sun disappeared. He immediately collapsed and died. They buried him in a 6-foot-long by 3-foot-wide piece of ground on his lot. That's really all he needed, right? The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. I mean, as we try to figure this thing out, as we try to gain more, get more, go more, do our thing, move forward, advance. God sits in the heavens and laughs. No, really, all you're going to need, buddy, is a little 6x3. That's it. So I hope you get the insight to the story to understand that our best efforts, our most creative efforts, apart from God's mercy and intervention, they're not going to get it done, are they? It's going to fall so far short. God's thoughts are precious and profound. It says also that there's a mystery to the thoughts of God. In Amos 4, he who forms the mountains, who creates the wind, who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns the darkness, the Lord God Almighty is his name. In Micah 4:12, but they don't know the thoughts of the Lord. They don't understand his plan. And so there's a mystery to those thoughts. But he also says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So guys, in that sense, what he's saying is his thoughts are worth seeking out. They're worth finding. They're worth discovering. They're worth the effort. They're worth going after God's thoughts. Lord, would you show me your thoughts? Lord, would you open your thoughts to me? Lord, would you open my eyes to see or my ears to hear your thoughts so that I can... But it's going to take some work, right? It's not like all of a sudden, I'm just going to line up in the morning. Okay, God, give me your thoughts. Boom, you got your 10 seconds. I'm out of here. I'm off to work. It takes knocking. It takes diligent seeking. It takes asking. The Bible talks about the one being strengthened, renewed, who does what? Who waits on the Lord. Who takes time in the Lord's presence. He's saying, Lord, show me your thoughts. Let me entertain them. Why do we read the Bible every day? We should. We read, right? Okay. Why should we read the Bible every day, right? God, give me your thoughts. I want to know your thoughts. I want to more deeply meditate on your thoughts. They begin to change me. They challenge my thoughts that I bought into here and I wound up all the way down here. Your thoughts are so much higher. That's why I read the Word. I don't want to read the Bible. I mean, it's boring. It's, oh, who am I talking to? They're in a different class right now. But, you know, I want to, right? Why do I struggle? Because they don't see how important it is at this season of their life to know God's thoughts, how precious they are, how profound they are, their mystery, and that they only come to those that he reveals by his Spirit. If you'll hunger and thirst for the thoughts of God, he'll show you. It's not going to happen at the drive-thru window, unfortunately. That's where we live, right? We like living at the drive-thru. Lord, I need it now. I need it fast. Give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts. I'm going into this meeting. Oh, God. And sometimes they'll yell. Don't make it a pattern, right? Don't make it a habit. Secondly, his ways. God's ways, as he talks about his ways. His ways, the Bible says, are just and true. Holy his ways, righteous and faithful. You can look at those verses, Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. Psalm 73:13. Your ways, God, are holy. Who? What God is as great as our God? Psalm 145. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. Oh God, Revelation 15. Amen. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God. Just and true, your ways, King of the Nations. So his ways, I mean, they're just so pure. God's ways, so much higher than our ways. Not only are they holy and righteous, but they're worth keeping. The Bible talks about Psalm 25, all the ways of the Lord are loving. They're faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Who's wise? Who's discerning? It's the one that Hosea 14 says that follows the ways of the Lord for their right. 2 Samuel, for I've kept the ways of the Lord. I'm not guilty of turning from God. Proverbs 8:32. Now, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Yesterday at the outreach, Tanya, who is the leader of, what's his name? Hannah Fogle. She's the leader of that ministry that's on that site. Got up to share some of her story. One of the things that was so gripping to me was she said, look at this face. Look at this face, because this face is the face of somebody in that clinic next door. And then she went on to tell her own testimony. 22 years ago, when she was pregnant outside of marriage, she confessed her sin. She knew she was in the wrong. She was having sex outside of marriage, got pregnant, was scared to death, and the doctors were in the room with her saying, this is what we can do for you, and the problem can be gone. But there was something about God's ways that gripped her heart. So she knew deep down in her heart, I can't kill my baby. This is wrong. This is God's ways are so much higher. And it was the fear of God that came in those moments. And even though I'm sure it was scary, and I'm sure she felt broken, I'm sure she was crying, and all the difficulty and the pain and the heartache, she stood firm. And 22 years later, her God is standing next to her at the clinic there. And if you go onto YouTube, you can see her daughter has videos where her daughter is professing boldly the value of pro-life, taking a stand, a life that was saved, and now she is a voice of testifying to the goodness of God. What a coincidence, isn't it? Ways of God. They're so much higher than our ways, so much greater. His ways are worth keeping. And finally, we need God to reveal his ways. Show me your ways, Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. I meditate on your precepts. I consider your ways. God, would you reveal to us your ways on a regular basis? Could you show me how different they are from mine, what you want to do to accomplish your ways in my life? And so, guys, this is Isaiah 55. This is a good wake-up for us in knowing his thoughts and his ways as being so much higher than our thoughts and our ways. Forsake our thoughts. Turn, loosen, relinquish. Embrace his thoughts. Forsake our ways. Cut out the stuff that needs to change. I'm not spending my time wasting my life on things that don't really matter. Lord, to embrace your ways. That's what I want to do. Now, honestly, I didn't even get time to go into the rain and snow falling from heaven and the word bringing forth fruit. Maybe that's for another time, but I'm just so stirred now to say, Lord, I need to dig deeper. I need a personal retreat someday this week. How about you? Just to take time to reflect and see what. Where do my thoughts have they strayed, and where are they different from the thoughts of God? What am I thinking about myself or about somebody else or about a situation that's not biblical, it's wrong? Lord, I need to repent. Lord, what about my ways? If I would take time to examine my ways, do a scan disc of my ways, what are some of the things that I've engaged myself in, that I'm involved in, that I may have started on November 4th, but now I'm all the way down at the Blueberry Cheesecake. I don't even know how I got there. Lord, would you take me? Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. Let the believer forsake unrighteous thoughts, unrighteous ways. Let them that want to stand for God forsake, loosen, relinquish, cut away, turn away from those things and embrace my ways. Because my ways are so much higher than yours and my thoughts. So much higher than your thoughts. Let's pray together. Father, we're just so thankful that you're a God who cares deeply about even the way we think and the way we live. You care deeply for your children, your sons, and your daughters. Lord, you don't want us bound up in sin, bound up in past things. Even as Brian was sharing at the very beginning after worship, some of us have had weeks where there's stuff that happened. Lord, we're not proud of it. So, Lord, we want to just embrace your ways as we forsake ours. We want to embrace your thoughts as we forsake ours. Would you take us back? Take us back to the beginning, Lord, of that process. Lord, we want to be free from this stuff. It's had a hold on us. It's been like a vine wrapping itself around our minds. It's made an impression on our lives that doesn't belong there anymore. So we're asking you to change us, Lord. To redeem us, Lord. To work in us, oh God. I wonder this morning if you're in a place where there's some stuff you're wrestling with in the strongholds of your thought life. The that God put his finger on. And we just were saying, Lord, I need to lay this at the foot of the altar. I need to have somebody agree with me in prayer and just break whatever this thing is off of my thinking or off of the way I'm living right now. Lord, I want to lay it at your feet and I want to do it today. Just a moment, we're going to take time just to stand. We'll close with a worship song. I'm going to invite you, if that's in a place where you're wrestling and you're struggling, to make your way up here to the side where we got this open area. And we're just going to be there. A few of us will be there to agree with you, to pray for you, to stand with you, to break the strongholds of thought that have maybe become patterns of living. So God, we just offer ourselves to you afresh. In Jesus' name, let's stand together.